ministry. You may want me to go back and rip my own class. But so, there's a disadvantage of what are the consequences if we don't take control of that's what happens to us. Happens to people experience stress. I am the most stressed when I am the most prepared. How about you? And what if you go through a week and you don't have books like this, I'm sure, where you've been doing a lot of visiting and a lot of doing that, and maybe you haven't done a book story in your time, you get to Friday afternoon and you just kind of have to cover the Bible and sin. Happens sometimes. How do you affect your family and get home? Irritable. Angry. And if you do that habitually, if you are in the habit of preaching Saturday night specials, and some guys do that, you know what I'm talking about, if that becomes a habit in your life, guess what? You will burn out eventually. You'll get to the point where you just don't have any idea what you need to preach next, and you're going to get to the point where you just don't have anything left to give. Stress, irritable, overwhelmed, and that doesn't encourage the non-complaining spirit that we need to have as well. And most of all, what the consequences when we take charge of our time? The Bible wins. Proverbs 18, verse 9, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. You and I may well have great talent and great ability as gospel preachers, but if we don't take control of our time, we may well destroy the work that God wants to do before it even gets started. All we need to think about using our time wisely. Got your Bibles opening up to Mark chapter 5. I'd like to give you from the Lord's parable about the sower and the seed, the different kinds of sowers. I'd like to give you three things to think about as it comes to time management. I started thinking about this lesson, and it occurs to me that if I look at the parable of the four sowers, the parable is about fruitfulness, it's about discipleship, and all of those things happen in relationship to time. One thing to think about, as you can see, we're going to just ignore it for the time being, the seed that is the wayside seed. We're just going to focus on the latter three, the times that the seed actually took root in our lives. And let's just divide this lesson in three parts. Part number one, let's look at the shadow soul. What did Jesus say to us concerning our time, concerning the way that we spend our time as gospel preachers? Number one, grow some deep roots. If you want to spend your time wisely as a gospel preacher, you invest in what is beneath the surface. What's the first kind of defender, the second kind of soil do? The shallow soil. Look at verses 16 and 17. These likewise, Mark 4, 16, are the ones sown on the stony ground, where when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves. In Luke chapter 8, verse 6, it says they lack moisture. So the Bible says that I know only for a time, afterward, when tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. You know the Lord's talking about discipleship, and he's talking about how people receive the word, but I want you to think about this in relationship to preaching. It is really easy to be 100 meters wide and about an inch deep as a gospel preacher. Because they want to pay attention to what's above the surface. That's where the elders are working, right? What's above the surface? What can we see? What's where the congregation's working? What can we see? And it's really easy for us as preachers to be 100 meters wide and about that deep. And what Jesus is saying is, the wise soil will allow roots to go deep. Remember, I grew up in River, Texas, up in the Panhandle. She was born in the Dust Bowl days. They've been watching this Dust Bowl series by Ken Burns on PBS. Great series. When the settlers arrived in the Great Plains, they saw grass as far as the eye could see. Buffalo grass, they called it. Between 2 inches and 12 inches high. It doesn't grow very large. It is drought resistant, it is heat resistant, it is cold resistant. And that grass was there as far as the eye could see. I got some investigation. How does this grass survive in such a harsh environment when trees and other things can't? You know why the grass survives? Because in some places, the roots of that grass can go as deep as 5 feet below the surface. You know what congregations need in the pulpit? Congregations
Thank you. Spend time in presence during this particular time of day. You and I, as God's men, we can be better stewards of our time. That's number three, horsemen of the apocalypse, if you will. Horsemen of the apocalypse, number three. Distractions. When it comes to stewardship, it is remarkably easy for preachers to be distracted. Bama, the great God in California, the Bama National Group, had done studies with religious leaders and around different denominational groups. You know what the number one way the preachers spend their time during the day is? Surfing the internet. Does that surprise you? The number one time wasted for preachers is ever claimed was surfing the internet. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, if your eye offends you, put them out. If your hand offends you, put them out. I'm speaking out of experience, I'm speaking for myself. I have found, personally, that most technology does not make me more productive as a gospel preacher. That's not a knock on technology. I know there's a lot of wonderful things that can be done with computers and a lot of wonderful things that can be done with all the different accessories that are up. I have found, though, me personally, I have to do it the old fashioned way if I'm going to get things done in my life. I've got a pad and a piece of paper, and I've got a Bible, and I've got another book, and that's the way I try to study when I'm in results time.
Here's what you do. Think about what would be the first step. If I were to
Jesus was flexible. He took an interrupt. Destroy the church.